It is time for another Classic Car Chat, Al's Classic Car Chat, being brought to us by JDR Seeds. And this time around, we're going to have Billy Bradford joining us for the Classic Car Chat. Billy, welcome.
Hi there, Al. Thank you.
We're going to feature his car. He's got a beautiful car. So I'm just going to let him tell us what it is. Let's start there.
All right. Sounds good. Al, it is a 1968 Chevelle Malibu. I purchased it quite a few years ago, did a little horse trading on a dirt bike and a rear end, and we ended up with the whole car. It was Grecian green, original color. It had black interior, and we took it completely apart down to rolling chassis, just the frame, and redid all that, probably back in 2000, 2001, somewhere in there, and put it back together, got it all running and stuff, painted it red.
My favorite color, too.
I've had guys ask me, why'd you paint it red? Because it's got green interior. I said, no, it's got black interior. The interior is original other than the front seat cover and the carpet, but it's black. And the guys that had seen the car many years before that always joked, the gentleman I got it from, that they thought that the interior was so dirty it was green. Okay. So they thought it was green interior. And they'd always bet each other to go sit in the car for a while because it was dirty inside.
So you did a lot of work as far as getting the interior cleaned up and that kind of thing to make it black again.
Yeah, yep. It is an air-conditioned car, power discs, power brakes. It doesn't have power windows or seats or anything like that, but it has a lot of options from the factory. Original 307 car, it had a Buick Olds Pontiac rear end in it, which was a positive traction. If you know, you may know, but back them years, a lot of things weren't available at the factory, somewhat like it is now. So some of those cars had Pontiac or Oldsmobile interior in them also.
They shared a lot, whatever was available at the time they were building the car. Absolutely. Yep. Very true.
They ran into some production issues of getting stuff back in 68.
Is this a four-speed automatic or an automatic? Or
it's an automatic car. It has a 454 in it with a turbo 400. My dad, Jim Bradford, Jim's custom exhaust many years ago, and Brad and Jim's repair. He did the exhaust with me and a lot of the engine stuff like that, transmission. So we did all of it other than the actual paint job right there at Brad and Jim's repair out there.
This one was redone, so to speak, and given new life and everything, going from Gretchen green to
red.
Red, yeah. Yep. And I know the Gretchen green, that Gretchen green in that late 60s, early 70s was a very popular color on the Chevelles. A lot of them were made
in
that
color.
It was.
A lot of Camaros, a lot of Chevrolets that color. Yep,
absolutely.
Yep.
I almost bought one myself in that color.
You probably went with red, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yep. that was like a second choice, you know. And they had a green one, and red was first choice.
Yep. With that car, I'll give you a little bit of history why I did this, and you'll see it. It's got Yanko stripes on it.
Yes,
Yanko supercar.
Is it a Yanko?
Red and white. So basically, back in the 60s, dealerships did a lot of their own special stuff because Chevrolet had a 427 with 425 horse that was designated for the Corvette. They did not want their smaller, cheaper cars to have the big motor. So they weren't allowed to put them in the Chevelles and the Camaros and the Novas and what have you. However, there was a handful of dealers that knew how to order them from the factory, basically similar to ordering a cop car, central office production order. So they could order through the back door and get whatever they wanted, in a sense. But they were very limited. In the beginning, it started out where they ordered the cars. And these cars were, the original Yanko Chevelles were 69, and they only made 99 of them. So they're very rare. But I did a little tribute, and I love the story behind it and all that. The history on some of these cars. Not just the Yankos, but the Motion Performance. You know, there's a lot of different ones. There's, like I said, there's a handful of dealers that knew how to do this. And they were built to race right out the drag strip, go, you know, buy it to the dealership and take it to the dragway and run it.
So you put Yanko on it as a tribute, so to speak, to that era, that time period, to Chevrolet in that time period.
Yep. So what they did, and they ended up doing it in 69, you could actually order them with the 427s. Before that, they would order the motors separately and put them in the cars. And a lot of people think that those cars would have been super sports, but they weren't. They were ordered as bare-bone cars because they were race cars, basically drag strip, quarter-mile race cars. Mm-hmm. So having air conditioning or power steering or power brakes just added weight to the cars. It slowed them down. So there's a lot of neat history behind it. A lot of people think they were super sports or they were the fancy cars back then, but they weren't. They were bare bones.
So you do have a beautiful car there. It's the color is perfect. It's bright red, and as a tribute, it says Yanko on the side. And I would say just an awesome car. You take that around to quite a few car shows and everything.
Yeah, we did quite a bit. We do it back in 2006. We took it up to the CarCraft Summer Nationals. It was probably a year after it was painted and finished up. We enjoy it. You know, I'm not afraid of getting it dirty or taking out the rain or anything like that. The first day I did, but you learn to enjoy the cars. You know, they can be fixed again. They can be polished up, washed, whatever. So we took it up there, talked me into doing the burnout contest. So we did the burnout contest, and I think I was the last one to go, and the guys couldn't get tires going up there, smoke rolling up there at the fairgrounds. We were last one to go, and I said, this could be a piece of cake. So we put it up on they use an inch steel plate, and they put you up on that with barriers around it. And then we just let her rip. Smoke was rolling within seconds. I could hear the crowd cheering and everything like that. And then I knew that we did what we were supposed to do. But we won that. We take it back to the parking area and through the park into the fairgrounds and park them again. Then a couple months go by in November, I believe it was, the magazine came out, CarCraft, and they got a full page. You open it up, it's a full page picture of the car and me, and see the pieces of rubber on the back, quarter panels and stuff. So I was pretty surprised. I haven't gotten many trophies at car shows, but being in a magazine like that is pretty cool. Then the following year, they used that, the car, I believe it was in the burnout picture, and they used that for all their dash plaques and all their advertising for the next year. So that was pretty cool to have that done.
So there's a car that has gotten some attention and just a lot of fun with that and some of the honors it's taken.
I think a lot of it is the enjoyment of cars is learning the history and things like that, the little quirks and stuff. Sometimes it's funner to build them than it is to go out and drive them, in a sense.
Yes. So fascinating story on your 68 Chevelle. Thanks for sharing it with us here on the show.
Thank you so much, Alan, to our sponsors for doing this.
Billy Bradford with us from Algona. Again, his car is a beautiful red 68 Chevelle. He is our guest today on the Al's Classic Car Chat, brought to you by JDR Seeds.